I would like you to keep your Bibles open in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. This will be like a Bible study. It's not a sermon. As I was studying this, I was so blessed. You know, the difficult thing in preaching when you are invited to preach, it's not the message preparation, but in the choice of the message. Even while driving, I have to pray, Lord, what do you have for me, for the congregation, for the church? It's the choice of where in the Bible, what subject, what portion. After everything had been given to me, everything just flows smoothly. But the most difficult was to ask for the Lord to reveal to me the Holy Spirit. What do you have? Because this is not a commencement address or something, a speech. You just write the document and give it on to the graduates. But the message has to grip me first. Us will be delivering the message. It has to be a part of our life to be effective in delivering them, giving them out. It has to touch me. So, Lord, what do you have for me? And I was meditating on that, just thinking even while driving, whatever, in the restroom. My mind is always waiting upon the Lord and the message. But you cannot just wait and say, like open your arms and then the message will fall and there. We have to read. Search. You have to read. You have to read the Bible. And then the Spirit will lead you. The Lord has given me this message, Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua's final, it's entitled Joshua's Farewell Address. Because in this chapter, the last chapter of the book of Joshua, a few verses after the last verse, we'll say Joshua died and was buried. He died at the age of 110 years old. In Joshua's final address to Israel in chapter 24, the last chapter, he gathered all the tribes, the nation, most especially the elders, to instill to them their devotion to the Lord. He would die, but they would be left to carry on the job. As Joshua carried the job in Joshua chapter 1, chapter carried on from his predecessors, as I was with, Moses? I'll be with you. So Joshua now would like to instill to his leaders to carry on their job. Joshua had similar emphasis when he first addressed the people. By the way, this is the second address, and the second was his farewell. The first address to the nation was in chapter 23. He had similar emphasis when he first addressed chapter 23. But here in 24, he was more dramatic. It's a farewell address in terms of geographical setting. The place, Sikkim. I don't know where you pronounce it, Sikkim or Sikkim. It's Sikkim. It is a significant place to deliver a farewell address. Why? Because it was here in Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal that Joshua built an altar to the Lord and wrote or copied the law of Moses on the large tablets of stones in the presence of the children of Israel, and review the laws to them. Joshua chapter 8. It was also in this place that Abraham first received God's promise to give him Israel the promised land, Canaan. In my Bible, it was different spelling, but same place. It was spelled differently from in Genesis chapter 12 to that of Joshua chapter 24, but the same, no problem about that. It was also in this place that Jacob, on his return from his carnal wandering in Mesopotamia, cleansed and purified his own household from false gods and burying all his idols and built an altar to the Lord. Genesis chapter 33. Joseph was concerned that lest the people would lapse into sin, idolatry, because they're occupying a place there now. By the way, the background of this is they're now in the promised land. They have crossed Jordan. Joshua chapter 24, you'll see there, the crossing of Jordan. So when they cross Jordan, that means they're there, in the promised land. So it was, his concern was for the people, lest they lapse into idolatry because of the heathen nation where they were. God promised Abraham a land flowing with milk and honey, but he didn't promise them that there will be no enemy. Joshua led an army collectively to fight against the enemy. But when they received their lot, their land, their particular land, the tribes, they have to fight their own battle. Some of them invited a brother, help me, let's fight my enemy. They meet and then invite, and then I'll help you fight your own enemy. They have to fight their own enemy. God has a purpose in not clearing all 100%, all the, there are seven, Amorites, Jebusites, Perizzites, all those sites, whatever. There are plenty, lots of them. Okay. Let's have a brief, before going to chapter 24, I'll give you a brief review of 23, the first speech of Joshua. They have already crossed the river Jordan. Chapter 23, verse 3 and 4, Joshua gave them a review of the past. It was the Lord who fought all their battles. All that Joshua did was to give them their land. And then that's verse 3 and 4. In verse 5, he gave the glory to God. In verse 5, a promise for the future. God's worker changed, but Jehovah remains. People, leaders come and go. But whatever generation there will be, remains the same, God. Promise for the future, I'll be with you. I'll fight for you. As I have fought for your fathers, for all leaders, I will fight the battle for you. I'll be with you. In verse 6 to 16, the end of chapter 23, he gave them the responsibility for the present. First, review of the past, promise for the future, and present responsibility. He said, be courageous. In summary, to summarize 6 to 16, be courageous, cleave unto the Lord, love the Lord, don't transgress the covenant of the Lord. I think it sounds familiar with Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, when God commanded Joshua, be strong, and I tell you, be strong and of good courage, I'll be with you, I'll lead you. That's it. As Joshua received those and have been faithful to that, now he's giving it to his people, the same command that the Lord gave him. Now, back to, forward to chapter 24. Joshua's farewell address. You know, his life is about to end. In chapter 24, verse 2 to 13, Joshua, it was written there, God's goodness in the past. Again, you have to go to the past You have to recall. That's why we have the Lord's Supper in remembrance of me. You have to remember our past. Remember Calvary. Joshua brought them to God, to the past, God's faithfulness and goodness to them. 2 to 13. He wanted them to know that God gave birth of the nation, Israel, and the call of Abraham. Not because Abraham deserves it. It's all of his grace, all by grace. Abraham doesn't deserve to be chosen of God, just like us. You don't deserve to be saved. It's all of the grace of God, by grace of God, all of the grace. And then he would like to remind them that it was God who gave them the land to where they were now. Not me. Joshua said, that's not me. I just fought the battle, distributed the land to you. To make his point, Joshua quoted the Lord. In chapter 24, verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, thus saith the Lord. Your fathers dwelt on the other side, your father. And then verse 4, and it took Father Abraham. Anyway, it was there. Thus saith the Lord, I the white one. It's all personal pronoun because it's a message from the Lord. It's I who gave this. Okay, in verse 3, I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. Thus saith the Lord. Joshua reminded them. He led them as he led. Joshua led them as he led Israel. But it was God who did the job. Verse 5, I sent Moses and Aaron to Egypt. He's tracing this. It's like history, tracing them history, the reminder. I sent Moses and Aaron to Egypt and plagued Egypt and brought you out. In verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites, and I, all those days, God, Jehovah is speaking, and I gave them in your hands. Verse 10, I, Jehovah said, delivered you from Balaam's hand. Verse 11, I gave the Canaanites into your hands. Nothing that Joshua claimed. They accredited everything to the Lord Jehovah. Verse 12, I sent the hornet before you. I was a little bit puzzled with this word hornets. Could it be bees, whatever? But then I little research, it's something that God would send to cause panic in the enemy. Whatever phenomenon is that, just to send panic, and they'll just be bewildered. And then Israel, the enemy of God, the army of God, will just beat on them. Eliminate, defeat them, hornets. I remember last year when the army of Iran in the Kunaibans, when they tried to attack Israel, not mainly Iran, but Syria. It was forwarded in my email, I saw it. God just caused a great darkness, whirlwind, cloud, so that the enemy cannot see. It was God who protected Israel. They weren't able to go on and attack Israel in the boundary, borderline. But there was dark cloud. I can see it. It was, somebody took a picture of that. It was shown on Facebook. I saw it. A great, huge cloud between Israel and the enemy. Similar to what we have here, hornets. When I was studying this, it reminds me of that. Verse 13, I gave you a land in which you have not labored. Now, as I was studying this, they were blessed. But about me, think of what God gave us. Think of what God, the Lord, has done to you. First, our salvation, and after salvation, the blessings. That's why I have the song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Some count their disappointments, and sadness. Reminds me of Naomi and Elimelech in the book of Ruth. They're in Bethlehem, the house of bread, and there will be famine. There was famine in the house of bread. When Naomi and Elimelech look at their food pantry, it was half empty, not half full. So they decided to leave, go to Moab, a country that God hates, enemy of God, enemy of Israel. When God commanded Peter, launch out into the deep. Large cuts. Because of the cuts, the net began to break. Lots of fish went out. If I were that fisherman, perhaps I would tell my friends about the fish that got away. Not the cuts. Oh, lots of fish got out. In the negative, we dwell in the negative. Instead of the cuts, it was those that got out. I gave you land which you have not labored, and all these things. Verse 1 to verse 13. Elimelech saw his pantry as half empty. Instead of looking at it as half full. And then thirdly, he wanted them to know that it was God who delivered them from Egypt. Joshua was just telling them what God did for them. And he wanted them to know that God protected and provided their needs in the wilderness experience. That he brought them over River Jordan. There are so many people today that don't know that. They just know about the Red Sea that was cut. Israel passed into dry land. But they don't know. Not many knew that Jordan, the same. Israel passed through a dry land. The river was parted. The Ark of the Covenant, the priest bring the Ark of the Covenant, step. When the first step, the river dried up. And then I stood at the middle of the river. It was dried until all the children of Israel passed out. And then they left, the river just caved in. All they know is the Ten Commandments because there was film. Red Sea. That he brought them out from and crossed over Jordan into the promised land and drove out their enemies. Although I said there are still some cluster of enemies remaining. God has a purpose for that. Why there are still enemies? One of those is to train them warfare, how to be good soldiers. Then he didn't give the land purely with milk and honey, devoid of enemy. They have enemies there. Now, they have claimed their inheritance and were enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Joseph, an example, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 actually is divided into two parts. 14, first sentence, 14a, is an exhortation. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Exhortation. And the second part of that verse 14, 14b, it was a warning. Not only exhortation, but there's a warning. Put away gods which your fathers had served. And then the statement of Joshua's testimony is considered as one of the most powerful and courageous testimonies in the scriptures. The choice that Joshua gave to the people, you'll be amazed. if it seem, King James say, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. And NIV it says, what I say in NIV, if serving the Lord seems undesirable, he said, if it seems to you, it seems evil to you serving the Lord, choose you this day. He gave them two choices, and they are both evil. The gods of your fathers beyond Euphrates, or the gods where you are in now, the gods of the Amorites. It's a bad choice. Giving them two choices, both evil. If it seems to you that serving God is undesirable, serve the gods that your fathers worship beyond Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites. That's yours. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't give the choice between the God of Jehovah and the gods of the hidden God. No, both evil gods, that's yours. For me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. It's comforting to know that leaders involve their family, their homes. Godly leaders set good example also in their homes. Verse 16 to 21, there's the danger of discipline. The people assured Joshua three times that they will serve the Lord. Verse 16, look at verse 16, 24. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God forbid. Verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. But sometimes words are just words that didn't really come from the heart, that didn't sink in the heart. What is said in the lips is not always true in the heart. He warns them that God is a jealous God. And idolatry will lead to chastening, discipline, and even loss of their land. In verse 22 to 28, in our Bible study today, the covenant with God. God made a covenant with the people. Covenant two, between two. God had made a covenant with Israel in Mount Sinai. Moses. This covenant had been renewed by generations that followed. It should be renewed. They do it. Generation after generation, this covenant had been repeated. That's why Joshua wrote the law of Moses, that covenant, in another tablet of stone and a big stone, and presented them to Israel. Once again, he wrote them. There's not, the Bible says here in 23, there's not a word that Joshua, from the covenant, the law of Moses, there's not a word that Joshua did not write or did not copy. Exactly there. Each generation needs to reaffirm its faithfulness to God. That's why before he dies, Joshua called all the elders and all the generation. And that generation. So before his death, Joshua renews the covenant with the people. We easily forget that God has to put reminders. They have to be reminded. That's why the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Maybe when I die someday, in the cemetery, they have to put something there to remember that, well, where am I? That's a remember, in memory of. Remembrance. There's nothing in there. But even with the reminders, the people failed to keep the covenant with God. Joshua's achievements for the Lord, he said in verse 31, his achievement, he stated him, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, even after Joshua died, the next generation, which had known of the work of the Lord, that had done what he had done to Israel." All the people and elders, that's the legacy of Joshua. Not only those present during his time, but after he died, the next generation, they served the Lord. They know. What other achievements Joshua had? He led them across Jordan. He led them from victory to victory in the land. He had given them their share, their inheritance. Verse 29 says, "Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." It is significant to note that Joshua, Joseph, let's go to Joseph. It is significant to note that Joseph was buried in Canaan, the same place where Joshua was buried. Joseph died in Egypt. But his brothers had promised him to bury his remains in Canaan. Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. And so they carried Joseph's body. The Jews carried his coffin out of Egypt. Exodus 13, verse 19. This is a picture of our future resurrection. Just as Joseph's body was redeemed from Egypt, so our bodies will be one day not only be at rest in the glory land, but also transformed to be like the body of Jesus Christ. Philippians, I'd like to read Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Who shall change," Paul wrote, "God will change our vile body." Oh, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body," like unto his glorious body, "according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things under him." Someday, in glory, our body will be like the body of the Lord Jesus, according to Paul in Philippians. It says here, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Actually, it's a mortal body. From mortal, we shall be changed into immortality. That's why, oh death, no more. We shall be like the body of Christ. As we close this book of Joshua, let us remember that Christ is our Joshua, Savior. Joshua means Savior. He fights for a battle. Whatever condition we are in, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Joshua said, "Leaders come and go, but your future is there. The same Jehovah that leads Moses, Abraham from beginning until me, the same God that will lead you and will fight battle for you." The God of Joshua is also our God. Amen. We are his inheritance. One day he will claim his bride. We are his inheritance to be with him forever. As I was meditating on this, preparing this message, I'm so blessed. There are times when I just stop writing or preparing message, but I just pray and just give glory. I just worship alone. I was worshiping, "Oh God, thank you for the message. Just grip me." And then as I was having this closing part on, one day he will claim his bride, we are his bride, his inheritance, to be with him forever. I said, glory to God, that the hymn just came to my mind. That's what we'll sing today. For closing hymn, turn your hymnal to 520. I told with the permission of Mike, said I'll change the closing song instead of Now I Belong to Jesus. Hymn number 520, the title is, Oh, That Will Be Glory For Me. One day when he'll claim his bride, we shall be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, with glorified body, immortal bodies. Oh, that will be glory for me. Let's all rise as we sing this song. Oh, that will be glory for me.